Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What impact will proposed education savings grants or vouchers have on our public schools? Let's go in depth with Cassie Pearson, superintendent of the Knoxville Community School District, Greg Ebling, superintendent of the Pella Community School District, and Art Sadhoff, superintendent of the Indianola School District. Cassie, what's Senate File 372?
It is the newest version of the voucher bill here in Iowa, and as a public school district, we're really concerned every time that these come up. When legislators start talking about taking money away from our public schools to provide money for private schools or homeschooling families, that's very concerning just because they haven't funded us well the way it is lately anyway. But then the other part of that that's very concerning is the public money. There really needs to be a lot of accountability tied to that, and there are expectations. Taxpayers are paying for things. They want to make sure that they are getting the highest quality of services and that the outcomes are what's expected. And with this Senate File 372, there's no accountability tied into it. So that's probably one of the biggest things that concerns us.
And they're calling them education savings grants, not vouchers, because education savings and grants are something that sounds sort of benign. But as I'm reading it, it's taking the $6,800 approximately that follows a student into the public schools. I would then take that out of the public schools and put it into private or homeschool. Is that your understanding?
So public schools are funded on enrollment, and our per pupil enrollment next year is $6,880, so $6,880 per student, and that funds our overall general fund. And so what the Senate File 372 is doing is taking that same amount and putting it into an educational savings account for people that are not in public schools, either that are homeschooled or are attending a private school. And so they're using the logic that because we fund public schools at $6,880, that then we should fund all students at $6,880, whether they're homeschooled or they're in private school. So the concern with that, of course, is that with our $6,880 comes a lot of accountability and a lot of requirements that we have to provide for students, where a homeschooled student or a student in private school doesn't necessarily have the same level of accountability, and the school does not have the same level of accountability that we do in public school. So in the end, what our biggest concern is that this money will be taken and will be earmarked for education, but of course not going to public education, going to people that are choosing already to either private school or to choose to homeschool their kids. And in the end, what becomes problematic about that is that that money will be able to be used, if it's not used in their K-12, it could be used for college. And so some parents may simply choose to homeschool their child in hopes that they can then bank some money for college for that child. So that's a weird dynamic for us to be in. Private schools do have the ability to say, yes, this child can come to our private school, and this child doesn't necessarily, we don't have the program for that child to meet their needs. So not all students can attend private schools. We have lots of examples of times where students that just have some difficult learning needs, and they may end up at the public school simply because the private school does not have the program. So those are all a really weird thing for a school to have to deal with. And especially when we're dealing with dollars attached to that, and how that works in the end will be tricky.
How many kids in the Knoxville School District?
We have right at 1,700 students that we are serving.
1,000, okay. Let's say 100 of them decided to homeschool or go to private schools because of this. What would be the impact?
That's huge. and one of the things that a public school, our general fund pays all of our expenses. So it's our teachers, it's our bus drivers, it's our cooks and our associates, our facilities. And we have, the $6,880 per student is not a lot of money to do all the things that we do for kids. And so when we look at our budget and making sure that we can even just maintain all the programs that we have for kids, if we're looking at taking a significant cut, you talk $500,000, that can definitely impact our programs that we're able to offer. And with that too is making sure that all of our students that we are serving have their needs met. So whether it's in our talented and gifted program or our special education program, our reading programs, and extracurricular activities, every time we lose money, that means we have to have hard decisions that have to be made. And figuring out we don't have a lot of other areas that we can generate revenue, and the state money really does keep us going with all of our current programming. We do write a few grants, but there are not grants out there of this caliber and this amount of money that we could replace the dollars that could potentially go to homeschool families or to private schools. So it would have a large impact, I believe, on all public schools, because across the state of Iowa, homeschooling is becoming more and more prevalent. And with the use of technology, there are more options out there. And if it comes with kind of a paycheck attached to it, I think more families will consider trying that. One of the things that concerns me a little bit, though, is having opportunities for kids in the social and emotional arena. Being able to socialize with other kids and learn how to work together and collaborate, learning how to work for someone else is part of life, So it's not mom and dad that you are answering to all the time, but a teacher, a coach, a principal, and figuring out how to build up those social skills so that you can be a productive member of society and be very successful. And so we really value the opportunities that kids are provided in public school settings, and we feel those should continue to be funded by the state.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about education savings grants or vouchers with superintendents Cassie Pearson, Greg Ebling, and Art Sathoff. And Greg, what do you say to the people that would say that this is all about school choice and that this will increase competition, and with more competition, the schools will get better?
So we obviously have Pella Christian in our district borders, so Pella Christian Grade and Pella Christian High. And Pella Christian is a good school, and it does create competition for us within our community that exists already. What I would say is that that's not necessarily going to change what the competition looks like in Pella. So we've already got two schools that compete for students already. We already have programs that we share between the schools. That I think is a good thing, because we're not competing in terms of academically the same way. And so I guess my fear is that you're going to end up with schools that compete where there's an opportunity to compete, which is probably happening already. The question is, will there be other schools that pop up, become private schools, because now there's another funding source that they could tap into? And I guess for us, in the end, we are always concerned that we are working together, for education for all students in our community, whether private, homeschool, or Pella Community Schools, and that we don't really hold back from each other in terms of trying to help each other. This, when it would become to now competing for the exact dollars as well, the same way, I could see that would be maybe create a different atmosphere for us. But, you know, I guess the thing for us is that we know that good schools make other schools work hard. But what I would say is that our teachers aren't holding back their best. They're doing everything they can do right now. So it's not like all of a sudden that's going to motivate them to work harder than they're currently working or put something new in place that's different. So, you know, for us, we're still going to do the same things we're doing. We're still working hard to improve. And, you know, so I don't see this competition as really making us better as a public school.
Mm-hmm. So, final thoughts, Cassie? Anything else that we haven't been able to get to?
Yeah, I think one of the other pieces that's kind of a ripple effect is the actual cost of the Senate File 372. Anytime you are changing a system and you are expanding it, there's going to be some additional administrative cost. If you read the Senate File, it talks about having a financial management company that will oversee these savings accounts. And there's going to be some additional cost on some oversight pieces. So not all of the money that's currently going to public education is going to make it even, you know, to all of these students anyway, because there's additional overhead, if you will, that's going to be siphoned off of the money. And right now, I believe they're talking about $265 million is what this would cost if they allow all private and homeschooled students to get the same $6,880. And so when you're talking that much money, that's a huge impact on our state. One of the things I think we should note is the state of Iowa is excellent already in the areas of choice. Parents have multiple choices on how to educate their kids, and I think that's extremely valuable. And I would agree with Greg that our teachers are doing the very best they can do every single day, and it's already competitive in that arena. I think it's great that parents can choose the options that they have. They can homeschool their children already. They can send them to a private school or send them to a public school, and it's all based on what parents feel is best for their child. When we're talking about taxpayer money, though, it really does have to have some accountability and expectations with it, and that's where the public school comes in. So I think we have a great balance the way it is right now with choice in our state and what we fund. And so I'm hoping our legislators will come to that conclusion as well, that what we have is working well for the students in Iowa.
Anything to add, Greg?
You know, the one thing I agree with Cassie is the accountability for those dollars. And I think, you know, there's a lot of conversation that happens around how public schools are held accountable for different things, because they're funded with taxpayer money. And so I would think this same taxpayer money that's going to go to individuals in the form of education savings accounts would also need to have some kind of accountability. We also think about private schools, and so competition is good, but private schools still can select. They still can decide who gets into the school, who doesn't get into the school. And public schools don't have that luxury, and we still wouldn't. And so I guess the thing that I'm hoping for is that the wisdom is seen that if we can allow some kids in and not other kids in, then is it really creating an equal playing field for students? Because I don't think it is. And this money is really being taken from somewhere, of which ultimately would mean less money towards public schools as well, because it would have to be funded.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about education savings grants or vouchers with superintendents Cassie Pearson, Greg Ebling, and Art Sathoff. Art, as we sit here, a bill is in the Iowa Senate that would divert money from public schools to potentially private or home schools to the tune of about $68.80 per pupil. And it's now in sort of limbo. It's been pulled. The person that introduced it says he may reintroduce it again, so I think it's worth still talking about. What are your thoughts on this legislation?
Well, for the last several years, there has been talk about education savings accounts or vouchers that do exactly what you say, divert public tax dollars to private purposes. And I think there's been a fair amount of concern about that. Usually gets cast as school choice, as parents getting to make their students' educational decisions. But I think it does get complicated when you start talking about repurposing public dollar for private purposes. So I think it has a lot of people understandably concerned. I would be one of those, particularly in a time when we've had kind of paltry state supplemental aid for public schools already.
How many students does Indianola have across all your schools?
Yeah, we serve over 3,600 students.
Let's say 10% of that money went away, that $6,880 bucks. Let's say that 10% of your school decided that it wanted to homeschool or transfer to a private institution. What would happen?
Well, that'd be difficult. It'd be a huge impact. As you know, when there are enrollment fluctuations, people don't come and go evenly. You know, so when you're talking about cutting teachers or increasing class sizes, it's tough to adjust to that, to enrollment fluctuations anyway. But if you had 10% of your funding go away, I think that'd be difficult for any district. We've been extremely careful about managing our funds and our solvency ratio. We've been able to keep up in the teens. But if you had that kind of outflow of cash, especially if it were suddenly, that'd be very difficult to deal with.
Let's think even bigger. Let's say all across the state of Iowa, all the budgets, all the 10% of the kids everywhere. What would that mean for, I guess I'm thinking the new teachers. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, the teachers that would lose their jobs and staff. Is that?
I think it would have a dramatic impact on education across the state. We already have districts that are dealing with declining enrollment, roughly 2/3 of our districts in the state. If they're not close to the Iowa City, Cedar Rapids corridor, or close to the Des Moines Metro, there's a pretty good chance they're declining. So they're already running pretty lean. And there are statutory requirements in Chapter 12, what we have to offer kids. All the time there are new standards, and we're trying to do it better and do more with less anyway. And I think it would be very difficult to provide quality education across the state if we had that kind of outflow.
Well, and then also, it wouldn't just be every kid. It would be, with respect to the private institutions, they don't have to take everybody. They could just cherry pick, correct?
Yeah, that is one of the key objections that gets raised on this issue. You know, in public education, we have a moral imperative to serve all of our resident students and to meet the needs of every student. I'm not saying anything negative about private schools, but they don't have the same rules to play by. They can decide who to enroll or not to enroll. I was at another district where we had a private school in town, and the public school needed to provide special education services to the private school students because they didn't have a special education department. That was required by statute. We did it. Just like right now, I believe there's over $40 million a year of public money that goes to transportation and textbooks for private schools. So it is difficult, and as I was saying a little bit earlier, the fact that state supplemental aid has been pretty paltry for public schools the last 8 years just kind of intensifies this whole thing.
This seems like a distraction, something that public school administrators, teachers, kids, everybody has to worry about when we should be focusing on, and I'm editorializing here, and I normally don't, but it's like, this isn't a solution the public schools have asked for. It's not a solution to anything the public schools have asked for. If you had a magic wand to wave, where should the legislature be working to make our public schools better and education in general better?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think it would be great if we could remove some of these distractions like you're talking about. I mean, there have been a number of unfunded mandates. We are in an age of accountability and high-stakes testing, which can serve its purpose. But I think if you talk to educators who'd been in the field for 20 years or more, they would tell you that the job has changed tremendously. There's a lot more pressure. There is more concern about external things that are going on than just focusing on the kids in their classroom. And if anything, if I had the magic wand, I guess I would just simplify things again and bring back more of the joy of the experience of learning. I think the accountability movement, we should be concerned with turning out great public school graduates. But look around you. Most of the people that you come in contact with are products of public schools and are doing well. So I would love to reverse the narrative, too, of our failing public schools. I just don't think that's true. And I think the pressure that teachers and administrators have today, coupled with the negative narratives that we get confronted with, make it tough sometimes.
Thanks to Cassie Pearson, Greg Ebling, and Art Sadoff for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.